Welcome to True Worldview, your place for intelligent conversation on ultimate questions and the issues that matter. I'm Paul Dean, and Christy Johnson is out today. In fact, she's out for a couple of days, but we're going to carry on. And today I'm asking the question, is this how we want to live? Obviously, I'm talking about the coronavirus and the response by the state to it and all of the measures that have been taken. I came across a piece from Brittany Schaefer, and she starts off this way. As I write this, I'm no longer allowed to frequent businesses. The state is deemed to be non-essential. Doing so has been prohibited by a man who has the power to shut down an entire economy with the stroke of a pen. Meanwhile, the mayor of a neighboring city has said that water and power will be turned off for any of these non-essential businesses that do not comply with the order. We now have to stand in line to get into the grocery store. We're only able to purchase limited quantities of food and other supplies, and the California National Guard has been activated in my state to help distribute food and medical supplies, among other tasks. Now, Brittany Schaefer goes on, but we want to think about these things a little bit as we just sort of interact with her a little bit. The state doesn't really have the right to shut businesses down. It's unconstitutional. Judge Andrew Napolitano has made that clear. We've talked about it on a previous broadcast. Certainly unbiblical because no man has the right to violate the God-given rights of another. And yet, that's the situation in which we find ourselves. You know, I think about the shortage of certain items in the grocery stores. And we do have grocery stores limiting the quantity of a particular product or a particular item that you can buy. And I understand they're trying to solve a problem. Economically, that's not really the right way to go about it. I mean, on the one hand, they could just sort of ignore the problem. And then you've got folk hoarding and, you know, other consumers coming behind or hurt. Or you could do what the stores are doing. In many cases, they're limiting the amount of items that someone can purchase. Well, you know, if you've got a single man and he buys, say, two items because that's what they allow, he's got two, and then you've got a mom who walks in and she's trying to feed a family of eight or take care of a family of eight, and she's limited to two items. Well, she obviously doesn't have enough, so that's not really the way to go about it. The way to go about it is to let the market solve the problem. And while a lot of people say that price gouging or raising prices in time of crisis is evil, the real evil comes when the state clamps down and says you can't raise prices. We need to let the market take care of that, because what happens is when prices go up, then consumers begin to make decisions based on the new price mark. In other words, well, maybe I don't need 16, you know, items here. Maybe I can live on four. You know, people start to conserve. They don't want to spend too much money. And so that leaves enough product for folk who come along behind. In other words, it's the price point that helps distribute the things that need to be distributed to the people that they need to be distributed to. If you just get the state out of the way, and if you just think about the solutions that you're trying to implement. But obviously, these issues have come up because of the crisis that is upon us. Part of the crisis certainly is the COVID-19 disease, but the other part of the crisis is the government reaction, the state reaction, and the media, the mainstream media's reaction, and the fear that's been stricken in the hearts of millions, if not billions of people, by the reaction of the state and by the reaction of the media. And so is this really how we want to live? Do we want to live in fear? Do you want to live with government shutdowns? Do you want to live having to search for items that are no longer in grocery stores? I went to three or four different grocery stores yesterday looking for one particular item, sold out in every single store. And obviously we know that there's a looming economic crisis. It's already begun for many, many people. Some businesses are going to be completely gone when this is over. So not only are they hurt, but those are goods and services provided by those businesses that are no longer going to be here. What possible reason is there to let others make decisions for us, to let the state make decisions for us, to let the state make decisions for the market? Brittany Schaefer goes on to talk about the fact that there's plenty of debate as to whether these draconian measures are necessary to halt the spread of COVID-19, and that is certainly a fact. You need to do the research. You need to read. If you get your information from the mainstream media only, you are incredibly misinformed. I'm not saying that they never get anything right. I'm not saying that there's not an issue here. But I am saying that your knowledge is limited if all you're listening to or watching is the mainstream media. And you need to take responsibility for your own health. You need to take responsibility for your own safety. You need to take responsibility for your country. If most of us were informed, these measures would not stand. The only reason that they stand is because people are uninformed. Brittany Schaefer is, again, pointing out that there's plenty of debate about what the socioeconomic costs will be. Devastating, no doubt. There's debate about whether the virus is even as deadly as was originally projected. I mean, there's a sense in which if you read statisticians, if you read how the numbers are being manipulated, the numbers that we have are not very helpful at all. I mean, there's one report I read recently, and again, you can decide whether or not it's accurate. But one report I read recently that pointed out that of the number of deaths in Italy, and that's been a hot spot, of the number of deaths in Italy, 88% of those deaths that were attributed to the coronavirus, they actually did not die from coronavirus. Only 12% died of the coronavirus, 12% of those numbers that have been reported in the mainstream media. Now, the other 88% of those who died, they had the coronavirus, but there's a big distinction, a massive distinction between those who have died from the coronavirus and those who have died with the coronavirus. In other words, 88% of those that they're reporting as having died from the coronavirus in Italy only died with the virus. It's something else that killed them, and they would have died anyway. And so the numbers are being hyped because that's what the media does. And those, you know, numbers are not being analyzed the way that they normally are because we're in the midst of a crisis. And so, once again, the virus in many, many instances and many, many studies, and we're talking about medical doctors and professors from Stanford University and Johns Hopkins and leading scientists in Germany and leading scientists in Italy and other parts of the world. They're saying that the virus is not as deadly as a lot of folk are saying. And there are reasons that a lot of folk in Italy, why is Italy a hot spot and not Germany, for example? Part of it is the pollution. It's significantly higher in Italy than it is in Germany. And a significantly higher number of people have lung problems in Italy than they do in Germany. And they're dying from lung disease, regardless of the coronavirus. We could go on. It's not my purpose today to talk about, you know, the medical debate that's going on out there. I'm simply saying, is this how we want to live? I'm asking the question. The question is to what kind of world we want to live in. Schaefer points out that words like personal liberty are tossed aside as if the concept of personal liberty is a mere luxury. And not only a mere luxury, but a selfish luxury at that. Well, it's not selfish to want to be free. I mean, that's something that God grants every single individual. And, you know, what's selfish is the desire to control others. In fact, it's evil to control others. If you want the government to control others, I mean, here we find ourselves in a situation where neighbors are reporting neighbors to the authorities. Here's a guy that goes out for a jog and his neighbor reports him to the authorities because he's not social distancing. Is that the kind of world you want to live in? I'm going to tell you, it is not the kind of world I want to live in. Now, I'm not angry about it because the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I'm simply trying to get us to think. Not just think pragmatically, but to think biblically. These things are so important. It's selfish to call the authorities to want to control others. It's slavery. And most people say that slavery is evil, but when you get the state to shut down businesses, it's slavery. It's a form of slavery. It's a form of violence. You're prohibiting people from earning their livelihood. You're shutting people down. You're taking money out of their pockets. You're taking, literally, you're taking food out of the mouths of their children. And we have to live on principle. We don't shut people down. I'm talking about a biblical worldview. And of course, you hear this mantra, well, saving lives is more important. That's the reaction we get. Are we really saving lives? There's a question. What if we had a text? What if you received a text on your phone every single time someone was killed in a car wreck? Do you think that would make you think twice about driving your car? We all make decisions every day. We all take risk. There's a risk in driving your car. And I dare say, just think with me for just a minute. If you got a text every time someone was killed in a car accident, if every other headline on your news feed was about who was killed in a car wreck today and the gruesome details, if every moment of every day, the 24/7 news cycle, we're talking about this person and this family and these two families killed in a car wreck, you'd think differently about driving cars. But we don't. You take swimming pools, for example. We know that swimming pools are non-essential to our lives. We don't need swimming pools. And yet, we all like swimming pools, whether it's the neighborhood pool or whether it's a pool in the backyard or whether it's the YMCA, whatever the case may be. We all like to take a nice swim. But we also know that people die in swimming pools. We know that swimming pools are dangerous. Swimming pools are hazardous. You'd be surprised how many people die every year in swimming pools. They hit their head on the bottom or they drown or whatever the case may be. And yet we all accept the fact that people die in swimming pools, but we don't ask the state to ban swimming pools. It's just not how we live. And so when you say that we want the state to shut everything down to protect us from coronavirus, even when you look at the numbers that the mainstream media is giving us, I'm not talking about projections that are way overblown, according to experts, according to medical doctors and PhDs and all the rest, these numbers are way overblown. But just look at the numbers that we have, and you can begin to see, do these numbers warrant shutting down the world? Do you want to live in a world where we panic and just shut things down? Do you want to live in a world where we enslave others, to where we do violence against others, where we hinder others from earning their living and feeding their families? It's not about saving lives. That's a red herring. What about drunk driving? I mean, let's get serious for a minute. We're not serious about stopping drunk driving, and we know that drunk driving, in many, many cases, it kills people. If you really want to stop people from being killed by drunk drivers, I mean, there are any number of things you could do. How about this? The next time somebody kills someone, if they're driving drunk, you publicly execute them immediately. You think that'll have an effect on people who drive while intoxicated? I think it will. But we're not serious about stopping it, and that's not really my point. The point is, do we want to live in a world where we just shut people down, kill people because we don't like what they're doing? Obviously, if you kill someone while driving drunk, there needs to be a penalty. Yes, you kill someone while driving drunk, it's manslaughter. I agree with that. I'm simply using that to say that there are many things that we tolerate that make our stance on this thing, this coronavirus thing, hypocritical when we say, oh, it's about saving lives. Now, I'm not being ugly. I'm not accusing folk. I'm urging us to think. But here's Brittany Schaefer. Even if this dichotomy were true, and the past century of human history screams to us that it is not. I mean, we know that there have been ample cases. If I had time, I would go down the list. There are ample cases where government has created a crisis, and they've blown the crisis out of proportion in the minds of the public to steal liberties, to get other things done that they otherwise couldn't have got done. That's why Rahm Emanuel, we've quoted him before, it's why he says never let a good crisis go to waste, because in the midst of a crisis, you get to do things you couldn't do otherwise. That's evil, but that's what they're doing, regardless of the very real threat here. That the question remains, do we want to live lives in which we get to make our own choices and decisions? This is Brittany Schaefer asking this. Do you want to live lives in which we get to make our own choices and decisions, or do we want to live the kind of lives where our choices are made for us by some centralized authority? See, now she's making a good argument. She's making a pragmatic argument, but it's a good argument. But I'm trying to make a principled argument in addition to that. We can't live this way and honor God and one another. In other words, if the state, if some centralized authority makes these kinds of decisions for us, it's not honoring to God, because God doesn't approve of slavery. He doesn't approve of coercion. He doesn't approve of denying people the rights that he's given them, the God-given rights that he gives everyone, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. And we're not honoring one another because we're doing harm. We're aggressing against one another. We're doing violence to one another in one way or another. Schaefer says we're now talking about digital certificates to indicate everyone's infection and vaccination status. Bill Gates, for example, in a recent Reddit forum said this. This is Bill Gates. Now, listen to this. Eventually, we will have some digital certificates to show who has recovered or been tested recently, or when we have a vaccine, who has received it. Now, again, what do you think in the aftermath of all this, what do you think is going to happen when we get a vaccine? I'll tell you what's going to happen. We're going to be forced to take it. Is that right? Of course it's not right. But you'll have people, including Christians, saying, oh, you have to take the vaccine to protect all of us. That's just not true. First off, vaccines take at least 18 months to develop, there's no way that we're going to wait 18 months for a vaccine. You're going to have one really soon. Well, it hasn't been tested enough, developed enough. The side effects are unknown. Huge risk. You could be talking about deadly side effects. Besides that, there are vaccines that we already have that produce deadly side effects in untold numbers of people. It ought to be your own choice as to whether or not you have to take a vaccine. You know, we have natural antibodies that help us defeat these kinds of viruses, and it's people with weakened immune systems who can't fight them off. But do we want to live in a society where someone else is making that decision for us? I don't think so. I think a lot of people who say that we would, but I don't think after experiencing that they would still affirm that opinion. This is my thing. You know, Schaefer asked the question, would these certificates that Bill Gates is talking about be required in order to board an airplane, to get a driver's license, to shop in a store? Well, there's no doubt that would be the case. I mean, already vaccination records are required in Argentina in order to get a passport or a driver's license. So the most critical issue in all of this, again, this is Schaefer here, the most critical issue in all of this is not and never was determining the most effective way to deal with crises like this one. And if it were, there's more than enough evidence from this outbreak alone to entirely disqualify state action from that competition. This is not about whether government-ordered lockdowns work to stem the spread of a deadly virus. It's not what we're talking about. We can debate those issues. It's not even about how deadly the virus is or is not. We can debate that issue. The much more important issue is, what kind of world are we creating when we allow government to have this kind of power? I mean, think about history. Think about the supposed lessons that we've learned in history. I mean, Schaefer points this out. She says, we say never again. We visit Holocaust memorials. We condemn the internment of Japanese Americans. We vow to treat all people as equals, never to hate an entire group of people because of their race or ethnicity or sexual preference. And all that's beautiful, but it completely misses the point. Now, listen to this. This is where you need to hear her. The atrocities of the century before ours did not take place because a lot of people hated a lot of other people. Those atrocities were the product of all-powerful states that could do whatever they wanted to the people living under them. Not a single one of the living nightmares of the Nazis or the Soviets, of Pol Pot, of Mao, or any of the others could ever have happened without total state power. And once a state has that kind of power, there is very little that anyone living under it can do to stop it. There it is. That's what we're talking about. That's the point. And we see states grabbing power, arrogating power to themselves they don't have. Listen, let me tell you, the law of the land in the United States of America is the Constitution. And the Constitution says that the government has no right to shut down businesses the way that they're doing, to require people to shelter in place the way that they're doing. They don't even have the right to quarantine a zip code or quarantine a group of people. You have to have due process in order to do that, and you have to be able to prove that an individual actually is infected and that he is contagious, and that if he is not quarantined, he's going to infect others. You can't prove that. You can't quarantine him. That is the law. That's the law. And the mayor of my town and the governor of my state and the president of my country, they have broken the law of the land. And you can see I'm a little bit impassioned about that because it is an egregious violation of the God-given rights and the liberty and justice that all of us have long taken for granted in this country. Now, again, I don't want to speak out of turn, and I want to be rational, and I want to be reasoned, and I want to be mature, and I want to glorify God, and I want to help others. The state grabs power. That's the point. And we have numerous examples of private individuals and businesses rising to the occasion. We don't need the state to step in. I mean, Schaefer points out individuals sewing masks to donate to hospitals, businesses repurposing their manufacturing to make needed items like hand sanitizers, open source 3D printing of scarce ventilator parts, other medical supplies, a hackathon to create an open source ventilator, open source real-time tracking of the genetic evolution of COVID-19, and of course the labs, listen to this, now this is so important, the labs who tried to create tests at the outset but were prohibited from doing so by the CDC. Now, I don't appreciate the political nightmare in which we find ourselves where the Democrats, for example, have sought to villainize the president in this thing throughout and trying to win an election, take advantage of this situation, a very real situation, where people are hurting, and make it worse with the draconian measures that have been imposed on us, and using that and saying that the president responded poorly to this thing and he's the reason we're in this mess. I mean, I loathe that. At the same time, and by the way, the president, it's not even the president's job or the government's job to protect us from a virus. That's not what the president does, and so it's all just political theater. That's all it is, but it's affecting real lives. But the state, the government, perhaps the president, but certainly the CDC and others, they did drop the ball in the beginning. They weren't prepared. And because they wanted to maintain power and control, they didn't let private labs develop the testing and do the testing that could have been done and made the numbers that we have now even lower, because the government wants to control things. But if we get the government out, it's going to be a lot better. Again, there's no perfect solution in a fallen world. There's some problems that don't even have solutions. This world is fallen. It's cursed. It's been subjected to futility. Now, it's our responsibility to try to push back the fall. It's our responsibility to glorify God and do good to others in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're talking about. But the point I'm making is that market solutions are always better than government solutions. Market solutions may not be perfect, that's for sure, but they're always, always, always better than government solutions. And as always, there are neighbors and non-neighbors helping each other everywhere, however they can. I mean, we see all kinds of stories where people are, you know, helping one another and, you know, distributing food and medical supplies and doing all kinds of things on a volunteer basis. I mean, there are all kinds of things that we could point to. Likewise, there are numerous examples of jurisdictions that have not implemented such heavy-handed state restrictions and are so far dealing pretty well with the outbreak. You take a look at Hong Kong, for example. They learned some lessons during the SARS epidemic, and they jumped on certain things when other neighboring countries around them or districts around them didn't. But their subways are running. Their businesses are open to this day, and the number of people infected is way, way less than the number of people infected in neighboring jurisdictions, and the number of people who have died is almost, well, I won't say non-existent. I won't say almost non-existent, but it's extremely, extremely low. I don't have the particular figure in my head, but I've read the figures, and they're extremely low, and it's because Hong Kong has put some measures in place. And it wasn't the government, it was the people. It was the people who immediately remembered what went on and the things that they needed to do to protect themselves and to protect their neighbors. Yeah, you got to think that human beings are incredible. We've been created in the image of God. And we're perfectly capable of handling crises without using force against one another. Schaefer makes that point. I make that point. We don't have to use violence against each other to handle these problems. And that's a biblical mandate. It's a biblical worldview when I say that. Again, we've been created in the image of God, and we're to image forth Him. That means that we can think creatively, and we can get creative when we have crises of this nature. It means that we can innovate. We want to mine, you know, metaphorically speaking, we want to mine our existing resources, but we also want to improve our existing resources. We want to develop new resources, and crises force us into doing just that, but we've been created to do just that. And solutions from the market, they're rooted in freedom, and they're rooted in individual responsibility. Why don't we get up off the couch and take responsibility for our own well-being? I know people during this crisis who are doing nothing but laying around. It's unbelievable. But these things are rooted in the dominion mandate. You know, God's provided us resources to deal with things like this. We just have to tap into them. But, you know, there's tremendous human cost incurred by allowing the state to have the power that it has. And as Brittany Schaefer says, each one of us needs to decide which side of this that they're on, which side they'll stand up for. And yes, there really are only two sides. Now, listen to this. Choosing to go in the direction of a more free society or choosing to go in the direction of a more authoritarian one. Authoritarian one. Sorry, I'll get it right here in just a moment. The reality is that as Christians, we have no choice. We have to influence in the ways that we can. That's what we do. We all have different gifts and different talents and different platforms and different spheres of influence, and we have to influence the way we can. It might be at the coffee shop. It might be over the telephone. It might be over Facebook. It might be that you have a podcast. It might be that you speak to thousands. And right now in this country, we still have a voice. We have a measure of free speech left. And we can work hand in hand with our government. We can work hand in hand with each other. But if there comes a day when we are not able to do that, we still don't have to roll over. You know, Christians have always been able to function underground if they have to for the good of others and the glory of God. So we need to think about these things. That's all I'm urging. Is this how you want to live? It's not how I want to live. I don't think you want to live this way. I'm going to close with a quote from Brittany Schaefer, and then I'm done. For myself, I would much rather take my chances with the sum of the people around me making their own decisions about this virus and me and my family making ours. Not because I think they're better people than our rulers, but because there are ways to hold individuals accountable for their actions, for the harm that they inflict on others. The same can never be said for the state. We should all be far more frightened by the consequences of letting a government have this much power over our lives than we should be of any pathogen. Why? Because human beings have the tools and the capacity to deal with viruses. Ah, that's my biblical point. But after all this time, after all the man-made famines and endless wars, the gulags, the killing fields, the death camps, and all of this, we still have not yet found the tools to effectively deal with the problem of an all-powerful state. That's right. We can deal with a virus, but we can't deal with an all-powerful state. So we need to do the best we can to speak the truth in love, and do what we do for the glory of God, not selfish reasons. And do what we do for the good of others. And may the Lord see us through this thing by His grace and for His glory. We'll see you next time on True Worldview.
You've been listening to True Worldview, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical perspective. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Thanks for listening, and join us next time on True Worldview.
The gospel.